such a powerful truth from God's Word here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And that is that God allows us to have thorns in our Christian life. And when they come, they're good for us, but our response is very, very important. It determines how much we're going to grow. So notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Our title today is My Strength is Made Perfect in Weakness. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I pray that we would listen and learn from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God today. Lord, that you are always active, always working in our lives, always teaching us and growing us. And Lord, may we get a hold of that and learn to respond properly when you allow the thorns in our lives. Thank you for your precious word and its power. And we yield to it today. And may you guide us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I totally forgot. It's good to have Daniel's mother, Sheila, with us today. From Nelson, and the engagement is finished and final. So I know a lot of you have been praying about that, Daniel's engagement. Maybe not. Remember, it was in the prayer letter, and he talked about it when he was here, that his parents were going to... Sheila got to go to Mongolia, right?
Yes.
Tell us, what was it like?
Quite different.
Amen.
It was a great experience.
Amen. And he's engaged now. So pray for Daniel and his... Did you say they're going to come back here?
He's coming back at the end of June.
Okay.
To introduce his fiance to his family.
Amen. How exciting is that? How exciting. Pray. Thank you, Priscilla, for that. Let's go to... Yeah, look at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul says this twice in this verse, doesn't he? He says it at the beginning and at the end of the verse. What's he telling us there? He's telling us that God allows these thorns very often to humble us and to keep us humble and to deal with any pride that may be in our lives. And let's face it, we all struggle with pride. That was the original sin from the devil, wasn't it? If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible teaches that God is always resisting the proud, but giving grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5. The Bible says at the second part of the verse, 1 Peter 5, 5, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, Paul knew multiple languages. Paul was probably the greatest church planter in the history of mankind. But Paul would have struggled with pride like the rest of us. And Paul recognized, after the fact, of course, after talking to God and getting answers from God, that God was using this thorn in his life. We don't know what it was. It could have been many things, but he was using this particular thorn to humble Paul, to keep him humble, and as humble, to keep him reliant upon the Lord. And that's the first thing we see in this passage, is God will often allow these thorns. If you go to Galatians 4:13, Paul talks a bit more about his weakness. Paul oftentimes alludes to the fact that he wasn't necessarily a great speaker, and that he had some sort of physical infirmity. But notice Galatians 4:13, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you as at the first." Why did God allow all of this? To keep him reliant upon God's grace. And we need to understand that this is part of God's plan. But what's interesting, if you look back in our passage, verse 7, he says, "The messenger of Satan." And this is the part that really jumped out at me, is we often don't think of it this way, that when God allows a thorn into our lives, God often gives the devil permission to bring the thorn into our life. He says, "The messenger of Satan to buffet me." We all immediately are thinking of Job, aren't we? Remember the conversation that God had with the devil in Job chapter 1. "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And remember, well, let's look at it. Job chapter 2, verse 6, where God gave the devil permission to go after Job. First, he was given permission to go after his living and his family, and then he was given permission to go after his health. Notice here in Job 2, verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." In other words, I'm now giving you permission to go after his health. You're just not allowed to kill him. Paul said, "God allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And that was my thorn." And these thorns, they're sanctioned by God, but often can come from the devil. And what form can they take? Well, that's up to the Lord, isn't it? Look at Job. Health, family, living, friendships, all of those he had to face. What does Paul mention there in verse 10? Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. That's quite a list, isn't it? All these things that we try to stay away from, God says, no, you're going to have these things in your life. And when they come, you need to recognize that it is me working in your life. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22. God was speaking through the apostles to these saints. And as they were traveling back and reconnecting with these churches that they had planted, look what they said to the saints, Acts 14, 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples." Amen, that's a good thing. "Exhorting them to continue in the faith." Praise the Lord. But look at this next phrase. "And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So while they were traveling around exhorting these new Christians in these new churches, stand fast, continue in the faith, and by the way, you're going to have much tribulation. Yet we're always surprised when it happens, aren't we? The tribulation. So verse 9, "He said unto me," after Paul asks him to take it away, and we'll talk about that in a moment there in verse 8, what does God say to Paul? Three times Paul said, "Lord, please take this thorn away." What did God say? "My grace is sufficient for thee." Amen? How much grace does God have? Well, the Bible says in James 4, 6, "He giveth more grace." The grace of God is unfathomable. Amen? Matter of fact, when God refers to his throne and coming to the throne, when we need help, when we come to him in prayer, God calls it in Hebrews 4:16, the throne of grace. Of all the things God could have called it, he calls it the throne of grace, the place where we go to get grace from God. God says to Paul, "I have enough grace. It's sufficient." And that's the second thing we see, that not only are these thorns good for us because they keep us humble, but they also force us to rely on the grace of God rather than in our own strength. Verse 9, my strength is made perfect in weakness, our title. Jesus said a similar thing in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And yet, how often do we try to do things in our own strength? God says, I have all the strength available that you need, but you've got to avail yourself of it. So often I have to send a thorn into your life so that you'll rely on my grace and my strength rather than your own. And this is Old Testament, New Testament. Look at Isaiah 40:31. Most of you know this verse, or at least pieces of it. But it says the same thing, that our strength needs to come from God. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God wants our strength to come from Him. But our tendency in our old man and our sinful flesh is to want to rely on our own strength to get things done, even for God. Hence the need for the thorns. But notice Paul, 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul learned this lesson and then shared it with us. 2 Corinthians 3:5. This beautiful lesson. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen? We don't believe anymore, now that God has taught me this lesson, Paul said, I don't believe anymore that my sufficiency comes from my own strength. And of course, we're hearing this all the time now with the New Age and everything, these last days, that we have all this inner energy, inner power. Paul says, no, I am not foolish enough to believe that I have the sufficiency to do anything for God. My sufficiency, he says, our sufficiency is of God. It comes from God. But how often does God have to remind us of that? Every time he sends a thorn. Every time he gives the devil permission to send another thorn our way, what's our initial response? Lord, please take this away immediately. This isn't right. It hurts. I don't want it anymore. Please. And we pray and we pray and we pray. Say, take it away, take it away, take it away. Maybe we should change our prayer. So God often will send a thorn. God is trying to teach us to rely on His grace and His strength. But our response, verse 9 of our passage, determines whether we're going to get the lesson. Look what it says. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Do we really do this? When a thorn comes into our life, no matter how long, how horrible it might be, is our initial response to say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Or is it to fall down and pray and say, Lord, please take this away as soon as possible. This is the right response. Paul gave us both. He gave us the wrong response and the right response in the same passage. The wrong response is verse 8. Please take it away. Right? He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. That's the wrong response. The right response is verse 9. I will glory in my infirmities. Verse 10. I take pleasure in infirmities. And if we'll learn the right response to these thorns, we're going to grow. And we're going to learn what God wants to teach us. We have to get a hold of this. And it's been very good for me. God has taught me a lot through this. That we've got to stop asking God to take it away. Whatever it might be. And however long it's lasted. And stop saying, Lord, take it away, and start saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? Because I know this isn't a mistake. I know that you have a plan. There's this misconception that's going around in a lot of churches today that if we'll just live right as a Christian, then everything will be wonderful. And people hear it every Sunday in their churches. Just live right, just be a good Christian, and you'll be healthy, and you'll be wealthy, and things are just going to go wonderfully. Yeah, tell that to Job. The Bible says he was the most righteous man on the entire earth. And look what he went through. You cannot prove that teaching, which we call prosperity theology, from the Scriptures. You just cannot find it. But what you can find in the Scriptures is that God is going to continue from the day we get saved till the day we leave this earth to use whatever he needs to use to refine us. And like we said last week, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And if that requires a thorn, so be it. Even if it requires a thorn from the devil himself, so be it. But our response is the key. We can either say, take it away, or we can say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to glory in this. I'm going to praise you for this. I'm going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to know that you have a plan. Look at 1 Peter 4:12, if you would, quickly. First Peter chapter 4, look what he says. And of course, Peter talked about suffering probably more than any other of the writers. But he says, beloved, think it not strange. Let's be honest. That's exactly what we do every time God allows the devil to bring a thorn into our lives. We think it's strange. Uh-oh, what's this? Why is God doing this? God says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Think it not strange. Don't, like Paul, say, Lord, this is strange. I need you to take it away as quickly as possible. Maybe we need to say, Lord, I know you have a reason for this. Therefore, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, like Paul said, and I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities. Why? Verse 9 of our passage, go back there, 2 Corinthians 12, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We all need this power. We all want this power. But we don't want the thorns that make it possible to have the power. Let's be real. Philippians 3:10, Paul asked for this power. Look at it quickly if you would. That I may know him, amen, and the power of his resurrection, amen, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oops. It's always there, isn't it? Fellowship of his suffering. You know what David said in Psalm 119:75? I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I know, Lord, that what you're doing is part of your faithfulness, this affliction that I'm going through. James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We just read what Peter said. Rejoice. Don't count it strange. So if we will learn, like Paul learned, and he had to learn it, to not ask him to take it away, but to understand that it's got a purpose. God's keeping us humble. God's pushing us to rely on his grace and his strength rather than our own. And if we will respond properly, look what will happen. We all want the power of Christ to rest upon us, and we all want to be strong. But look what he says in verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. These are things that we want. But God says, well, if you want them, you're going to have to pay the price of the thorn. Now, Job understood this amazingly. Job didn't even have the Word of God. His experience happened before the Bible was even written. And what did he say? In the midst of all that suffering, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth, what? As gold. He understood. God is refining me. And he understood, even if God's going to kill me, I'm just going to go to heaven. And I'll be like gold there. That's called trust. Trust that God makes no mistakes. 2 Corinthians 4:17, if you turn there quickly, uses this word worketh. And that's exactly what Paul is teaching us. That the thorn works. The thorn has a purpose. The thorn is humbling us, forcing us to rely on the grace of God that we might receive His strength, His power. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, I understand now. Lord, I'm going to stop asking for you to take it away. I understand now that you gave it to keep me from being exalted above measure. You gave it to humble me. You also gave it to force me to rely on your grace, to rely on your strength, and look at the benefits of responding properly. The power of Christ resting on me, and when I am weak, then am I strong. Because God said, think about this saying, our title, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He knows us, he made us, and he knows that we cannot have his strength perfected in our lives until he makes us weak. We are such stubborn creatures, aren't we? I'm including myself. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God to take away a thorn. We need to stop doing that. We need to understand God has a purpose. God has a plan. God is growing us. God is teaching us. And don't we want that power? Don't we want that strength? We got to be willing to respond properly when the thorn does come, that God's grace, God's power, God's strength will be in our lives and we can serve him with it. That's why we're here, to serve God. We need power to do that. We need strength to do that. It needs to come from God. If we do it in our own strength and our own power, it's for naught. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you for allowing Paul to not only go through this, but also to record it for us, the lesson that he learned. Lord, I pray that we would learn it. Lord, that it would be real for us, that when the thorns come, however intense, however long they may be, that we would stop asking you to remove them and ask you to use them. That we might have your power, we might have your strength to serve you. Thank you for teaching us this beautiful lesson today. I pray we'll get a hold of it and we'll live it. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize Jesus said you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. I pray that they would recognize that and come to Christ. The rest of us, may we be honest.